Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read some different verses just down through the chapter, beginning at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall ye make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Then down to verse number 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Then verse 21 of the same chapter. Verse 21, Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And then lastly, verses 29 and 30. Verse 29, And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And we know that God will bless this solemn and yet public reading of his precious words, speaking about an event that really did happen many years ago in the land and nation of Egypt. And there's still evidence in Egypt to this day that the Lord did visit that land with many, many plagues. Egypt was once the richest nation in all the world. You only have to look at the pyramids and the graves and the tombs of the pharaohs and those mummified caskets that they were laid to rest in with all of their gold and riches and wealth. And tonight Egypt is a far cry from the nation that it once was. Many believe, I believe as well, that it's because of what happened in Egypt through the plagues and through the Passover, because Pharaoh hardened his heart. Large doors turn and small hinges, and all because one man would not humble himself before God. A nation was changed over a short period of time and never has really regained its footing in the world economy since that day. But I want to speak tonight from verse number 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And tonight's message is very simply entitled, Get Under the Blood. Get under the blood. Let's pray and seek the face of God together. Father, we thank thee tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that all throughout Scripture, from Genesis, from the very gates of Eden, whenever the Lord took that animal and made coats of skins for Adam and Eve to cover them from their shame and nakedness, right through to the book of the Revelation, Lord, we see again and again and again that scarlet thread running throughout all Scripture that reminds us that it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that maketh an atonement for the soul. We thank thee tonight, Lord, that that blood can still cleanse from all sin. And Lord, tonight we thank thee that any sinner who comes by faith, in repentance, believing and trusting, can experience that there's victory and there's value in the precious blood. Lord, we plead that blood this evening. Defeat the enemy, pour out thy spirit, give help to the preacher. I confess that I'm poor and needy. I give myself to thee. And Lord, speak, O God, through this jar of clay to every waiting heart. And Lord, we pray that there might be treasures of worth brought to the feet of the Master tonight by the Holy Ghost. Hear us, we ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen. The book of Exodus really speaks of the whole story of the redemption of the children of Israel, God's people, from their slavery in Egypt. And chapter 12 in the book of Exodus is a key chapter. It records that event that has often been called ever since the Passover. And here in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord told them what he would do on a certain night in the land of Egypt. And he said that from that very night, a feast would be kept by Israel at the beginning of every year as a memorial for what the Lord would do for his people that night in the land. And that feast of the Passover is a feast that the Jewish people keep at the beginning of their year right up until this present day. And so in the land of Israel tonight, or wherever there's a Jewish community gathered together, what they do and the feast that they keep is a memorial, a testimony to an event that really happened, that tonight for all of us has a great influence and great significance because it speaks about the redemption that has been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the shedding of his blood. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh in the Bible is a type of Satan. The Bible says that the devil is real as God is, as real as you are. He's a real personality, a real influence, a real being who is active, presently active in this world this evening. The Bible says that he is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Bible tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in, and they should be saved. Pharaoh was a murderer. Right in the very beginning of the book of Exodus, we read that he wanted to take the firstborn sons of the Hebrew woman and cast them into the river Nile, lest they should rise up against him. He was a murderer from the beginning. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And he cometh not but for to kill, and to steal, and to destroy. And we see tonight that those very things are happening in the world tonight. Lives are being cut off. The devil is destroying lives, bringing people into bondage, bringing people into slavery. He's destroying homes, he's destroying marriages, he's destroying lives of young people and old people alike, and he's seeking to rob people of the salvation that the Lord could give them. And then Egypt is a type of this world. Whenever you read in your Bible about Egypt, it speaks about the world system. The devil is the god of this world, in the same way that Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. And the book of 1 John says that all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, it's not of God, but it's of the world. And for that reason, we're told in the scripture that if any man loves the world and loves all of those things, that the love of the Father is not in him. If any man will be a friend of the world, the scripture says he's an enemy of God. But then, most importantly, this lamb that is spoken of in verse number 5, the lamb that is without blemish, a male of the first year, that lamb pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might recall in scripture in John chapter 1, John the Baptist standing on the banks of the River Jordan getting ready to baptize men and women. And he saw the Savior coming. And he said to the crowd, now no longer look at me, but he pointed all authority and all attention to this one that was coming. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Scripture says that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And friends, tonight there's only one thing that can deal with your sin and mine. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no preacher, there's no priest, there's no minister, there's no missionary, there's no creed, and there's no church that can deal with sin. There's no religion that can deal with sin. The only thing that can deal with sin is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness for sins unless blood is shed. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says that we are redeemed by blood. The Bible says that we are justified by his blood. The Bible says that we are purchased by his blood. The Bible says that believers are washed in his blood. And so the Bible makes much about the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's many people tonight that don't believe anymore in the blood. I heard somebody saying to me about a year ago, I was doing a gospel mission. Girl stopped me at the door. She was a believer. And she says, you know, our minister never ever preaches about the blood. Doesn't believe in it. And that's very sad. Because all throughout the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ is exalted, and the doctrine of the blood is expounded, and the preaching of the blood is expected. And I wonder tonight, as we commence this service, are you washed in the blood? Can you say tonight that whenever God looks at me, he sees that the blood has been applied to my soul? It's not tonight about where you hang your hat on a Sunday, or what lodge you're in, or anything like that. The fundamental thing tonight, does God see the blood of his Son applied to your heart and life and your soul? Are you washed, the hymn writer says, in the blood of the Lamb? O mourner in Zion, maybe tonight your heart is heavy. You're filled with guilt, uncertainty about your past, your present, and your future. And you want to know that you're going to heaven. Well, if that's you, tonight you need to get under the blood. Let me just say three simple things about this portion of scripture that we've read together this evening. The first thing is seen in verse number 12. And it's a declaration of judgment coming to the land. A declaration that there's a day of judgment coming to the land of Egypt. God says, not Moses, not even Aaron, not any preacher, but God himself. And that's the thing that matters the most. What does God say? And that's why I always tell people to keep their Bible open whenever the word of God is preached. Keeps the preacher honest. Now what does God say? God says here, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and execute against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. A declaration that there's a day of judgment coming in the land. God says, I will execute judgment. He makes it abundantly clear that there's judgment coming to the land of Egypt. And the Bible is equally clear throughout the Old Testament, but especially in the New Testament, that there's a day of judgment coming to this world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back again. That's a glorious hope for every Christian tonight. That there's a day coming whenever the trumpet shall sound, and the Son of God shall appear with great glory and with his mighty angels, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But it also says that in flaming fire, he will take vengeance and execute judgment upon all that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a day of judgment coming. Revelation 6 speaks about a day whenever the kings of this world and the great men of this world and the chief captains of this world shall call upon the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, and they will say, "Hide us from the face of the Lamb." They're going to be afraid because there's a day of judgment coming upon this earth. But friends, tonight there's a day of judgment coming for every single individual. Scripture says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die," but that's not the end, that's only the beginning, because after this, the judgment. Scripture says, "Every single one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We must all appear, Paul said, before the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 20, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos says, "I saw a great white throne." And he says, "I saw the dead, small and great, and they were all gathered before that throne." And then all of a sudden he says, "I saw the books were opened." I believe the book of the law will be opened. I believe this book will be opened. I believe the book of life will be opened. Every man, woman, boy or girl that has ever lived, record in that book. And then the Lamb's book of life will be opened as well, with the names of all that have trusted Jesus Christ. There's a day of judgment coming for the individual. You say tonight, well, in Egypt, what was the reason for God's judgment? Well, back in Exodus chapter 4, God sent Moses to go to Pharaoh and to say to him, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh hardened his heart. He would not let the people go. In other words, he disobeyed the Lord. And because of his hardness of heart, and because of Pharaoh's disobedience, that is why a day of judgment was coming. You see, God only sends judgment where there's disobedience. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We've all disobeyed the Lord, every single one of us, this preacher included. Nobody ever had to teach us how to lie, how to steal, how to cheat, how to want to get our own way. Nobody ever had to teach us how to be filled with lust and with covetousness. It just comes naturally to us. And we've all been tempted in our own hearts to do these things. And many, many times we've yielded to temptation. And we've broken God's law. Some of us have broken all of the Ten Commandments. But even if we've only broken one commandment at one time in our life, James says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law," none of us could do that, "and yet offend in just one point, he's guilty of all." It's like there's a chain connecting you to God. Millions and millions and millions of links in that chain. And it only takes one link to be broken for you to be separated from Almighty God. God was sending judgment on the basis of disobedience, because God must and God will and God always does punish sin. That is the teaching of this old book, that God punishes sin. The reason for the judgment. But what was the nature of the judgment? Well, verse number 12, God says, "I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." In other words, judgment's coming, and God is going to punish by death the disobedience of Pharaoh. The firstborn are going to be slain. The wages of sin is death. Scripture says in the book of Ezekiel 18 verse 4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But you know, God was merciful. God sent many smaller judgments, first of all to Pharaoh. We read about those judgments from chapter 7 through to the end of chapter 10. And God sent the judgment of flies and frogs and lice and darkness and disease, and boils, and heal, all of these little judgments in time to warn the people that God is serious. to trouble Pharaoh, to unsettle Pharaoh, to show to Pharaoh that God means what he says. Judgment is really going to come. Pharaoh, if you don't obey the Lord and you don't let God's people go and you don't respond to the call of God in your life, Pharaoh, God's in earnest. Judgment's coming. That's why there's darkness. That's why the frogs have been sent. That's why the lice have been sent. That's why all of these things are encroaching in upon the land. And friend, tonight maybe God has sent things into your life to show you that life is so uncertain. Maybe God has been unsettling you in recent months and days. And things have come into your life that have hurt you, just as they did for Pharaoh. And at those particular times you've thought about salvation. Maybe it's been the death of a loved one. Maybe it's been bad news from a doctor. Maybe it's been a financial crisis in your life. Maybe it's been a wayward family member. Maybe it's been strife within the home. Maybe it's been trouble of mind. Maybe it's been sleepless nights. It could be a host of any things. But God has been using those things to speak to you and to show you that you yourself need to get right with God. But you know, ultimately, every single time God spoke to Pharaoh, he says, you know, I'm going to have to get right with God here. I'm going to let the people go. I'm going to obey God. And then the heat was taken out of the kitchen and Pharaoh still sat there and he didn't get right with God. And he continued again and again and again to harden his heart. And friends, tonight on the authority of this book, you can harden your heart for the last time. You can hear the call of God. You can be troubled. You can say, I need to get right with God. God has spoken to me. I'm troubled. I'm in a situation that I can't get out of, that I can't deal with. God help me. And God intervenes and still you harden your heart and you bank on getting a better opportunity. Friend, you will never have a better opportunity to get right with God than you have in this meeting tonight. If you wait till tomorrow, your heart's going to be harder. If you wait to the end of the mission, your heart's going to be harder. You say, I'll maybe wait to after the mission and God will speak to me then. But even then, your heart can be harder. Scripture says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Samuel Workman was a great evangelist and gospel preacher in this land. He's gone to be with the Lord. I love that story that he used to tell about whenever he was just a little boy. Between his house and between his school, there was many little businesses, and one of them was a blacksmith shop. He says, one day I stood at the door of the blacksmith shop. The door was open a little bit. And I was intrigued as I watched this big, burly blacksmith with his leather apron putting his tongs into the fire and pulling out a piece of white hot iron. And he went over to the anvil, and I heard the clang of the hammers that hit the hot steel. And he began to make a horseshoe, and I watched him with interest. And then whenever it cooled down, he put it back into the fire. And at last he had finished the horseshoe, and he threw it into a pile with others in the corner. And he says, as I watched him taking the horseshoe out of the tongs with his hand and threw it down, I saw where it landed. And he ran over himself, and he lifted the horseshoe. And of course it was piping hot, and he squealed like a stuck pig, and he dropped it. And he says, the old blacksmith smiled at me, and he walked over, and he lifted the same horseshoe. And he examined it and he set it down. And he says, I was so foolish that with my other hand, I lifted it again, feeling it must be cold at now. And he says, I squealed again because it burnt my other hand too. And then the blacksmith lifted it again, examined it and set it down. And he says, my hands were smarting. And he said, the old blacksmith, how can you do that? And he says, the old blacksmith held out his hands and he says, they were like leather themselves. They were rough, they were coarse, they were callous, they were like leather. And he says, year after year of handling the hot steel, of working with his bare hands, working in the blacksmith shop, that which would once have scalded him and burned him no longer did. And now his hands were hard. And the word of God says that we can have our very conscience seared as with a hot iron. And you can have your heart so hard, it's like there's a shield on your heart. And no amount of preaching will penetrate that. And maybe tonight your heart is so hard that you don't hear the call of God. You can't hear the voice of conscience speaking to you about your sin, about your past, and about eternity. And like Pharaoh, your heart is hard. The nature of the judgment was death, but the timing of the judgment, God said, was that very night. This night, God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt. This night, at midnight, it says in verse 29, God stepped in judgment. Friends, I believe tonight that we are closer than ever to the midnight hour whenever God's judgment's going to come. I believe tonight if we had a large clock in the wall behind me, and it was a prophetic clock of the history of the world, I believe tonight that the minute hand wouldn't be all that far away from vertical. I don't believe we're living in the last days of time. I believe we're living in the last minutes of time. We're nearer to the return of the Lord and the day of judgment than we've ever been before. But God said, this night judgment's going to come. Now, we're not promised another night in this earth. Judgment could come tonight. It could come tomorrow night. It could come 100 years from now. I don't know when judgment's going to come. But the Bible tells us that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And I've never met a thief yet that rings up the people he's going to burgle and tells them when he's going to come. Thieves don't ring up and try to make an appointment with you, ask you when you're going to be out of the country or out of your home. They come whenever you're not expecting it. And as you go around our town tonight and speak to people about God, there's not many people that are thinking about the end of the world and thinking about that day whenever they'll stand before their Maker. The day of the Lord for the unconverted is going to come as a thief in the night. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, there was declaration of judgment in the land. And undoubtedly, as people heard about this, there would have been some that were sensitive, that knew God's law, and knew there was a God, that would have asked the question, well, what about me? How can I be ready whenever the day and the moment and the hour of judgment comes? Well, we've got a declaration of judgment in the land, but in verse 13, you've got deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Declaration of judgment on the land. But for anybody that wants to be saved from the judgment that's coming, there's certain deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. You see, God was merciful. And I want to tell you, friend, tonight, God is still merciful. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11, you know what God says? He says, as I live, saith the Lord. God literally swearing in his own life. As I live, saith the Lord. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Then he asks the question, turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The New Testament says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And because God was long-suffering, he provided a way of escape, a way of deliverance, a way of salvation for anybody that wanted it, and it was available by the blood of the Lamb. And friends, tonight it still is. Salvation is still a glorious reality through the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I want you to notice a few little things about this Lamb. Notice in verse number 3 that this Lamb was selected. It says there, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of his month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. So they were to go out and they were to choose a lamb. Now, whenever God saw this world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, God chose the very best that he had to give as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. He chose his own dear son. The book of Isaiah says that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's elect or chosen servant. And God chose the very best that he had. And friend, tonight I believe with all my heart that you too have to make a choice. The word of God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Moses said in his last hours and years in this world, he says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed and thou and thy soul may live. He's calling the people to make a choice. God's servant did the same when he said, who is on the Lord's side? Elijah did the same whenever he asked the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long do you sit on the fence? The reality is tonight, folks, that there is no fence to sit upon. You're either on the broad road that leads to destruction, or you're on the narrow way that leads to life. And right now in this meeting, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're making a choice. You're making a decision. Because if you're not choosing to come to Christ and you're not taking him, you're choosing to go your own way. And you're choosing to go to a lost eternity, all because you didn't receive Christ as your Savior. The Lamb was selected, but the Lamb was also separated. It says in verse 5 that it was to be taken out from the sheep or out from the goats. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ. He too was separated. The Bible says he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And if a person wants to be saved, they too have to separate themselves unto him. Paul says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. And then you'll notice in verse number 5 that the Lamb was spotless, it was without blemish. Whenever the little epistle of Jude was written, it was written to people who Jude describes as having spots in their feasts. They were keeping all of these feasts and ordinances unto the Lord, but as God looked upon them, he says, there's spots in them. And everything that I can do to try and earn favor or merit before God, there's going to be spots in it. But the Lord Jesus Christ was pure, spotless, and holy, and harmless. And then it says that the Lamb was to be sacrificed. Verse 6 says it is to be taken and killed. And its blood had to be shed. And that little lamb, as it was taken and killed, would involve suffering. And the Bible says that our Savior suffered, and he bled, and he died, and he offered up his life in sacrifice for sin. There's a church, or there was a church years ago in Norway. And right at the very top of the church spire, right at the top of the steeple, there was an emblem carved into it of a lamb. And one day a passerby asked one of the men who was coming out of the church, well, what's the significance of the little lamb at the top of the steeple? He says, many years ago there was steeplejacks that came, and they came to repair the steeple and the spire of our church. One of them fell right from the very top of our church. And everybody suspected the worst. They watched him fall. But whenever they went to where he had fallen, they discovered that his fall had been broken because there was a flock of sheep that were gazing at the bottom of the church. And that man fell on top of a little lamb. And that lamb was crushed and it was broken and it was killed. But through that, he was preserved and he got up without a scratch. And isn't that a picture, friends, of what Jesus Christ did for us? All of my sin that would have crushed me and killed me and broken me was placed upon him. And he shed his precious blood. He was a substitute. Verse number 13 says that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know why that was? Because death had been in that house before. The blood of the lamb had been slain. And the lamb's blood was applied. And the lamb died there as a substitute. The scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. If you take this Bible representing my sin, all of my sin was transferred right across to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid for every single sin that I would ever commit. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, every sinful act, every wrong motive, every foul thought was paid for my Savior as he died upon that cross of Calvary. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The lamb was selected. The lamb was separated. The lamb was spotless. The lamb was sacrificed. The lamb suffered. The lamb was a substitute. But you know something else? The lamb was sufficient. That was all the children of Israel needed, because God said, "It's when I see the blood, I will pass over you." He didn't say to the different tribes, he didn't say to the tribe of Levi, "Well, whenever I see a little tag hanging over the door with Levi written on it, I'll pass over you." He didn't say to the tribe of Benjamin, "When I see Benjamin written over the door, or Reuben, or Simeon, or Gad, or Naphtali, or Zebulun, or any of these tribes," it was nothing to do with what tribe they belonged to. It was all to do with the blood. It wasn't about their works. He didn't say, "Whenever I see that you've ticked all of these boxes and you've prayed enough and you've wept enough and you've done all of these things, when I see all those things, I'll pass over you." All God required was the blood. And friend, tonight, for you and for me, all God requires and all God looks for is the blood. But you know something? I can just picture maybe a little home there that night in Egypt. And maybe a little boy in the home, let's call his name Michael, he's a Jewish boy. And he sees his dad coming in and dad's worried. And he says, "Dad, what's wrong?" And he says, "We've just been told by Moses and Aaron, the prophets of God, that judgment's coming to our land tonight." Michael gets worried. "Well, what can we do?" "Well, they said if we take a lamb that's spotless and we shed its blood and we apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels of our home, that the slayer will not come in and God will pass over us." And that word "passover," it literally means he will hover over us. And we will be underneath the shadow of his wings. And this little boy says, "Well, Dad, you know what you need to do? You need to go right now, this very minute. And you need to get that lamb and you need to slay that lamb and you need to shed its blood and you need to get the blood applied right now, because this is the most important thing in all the world, to get the blood applied." And friends, the word of God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Other things can wait. You need to get the blood applied right now. This night, the blood needs to be applied. And you need to be saved, converted, born again. You need to be saved this evening. You need to get under the blood tonight. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." You know, whenever the plague of frogs came to Pharaoh's house, and Moses went in and asked him if he had changed his mind, and he says, "Tomorrow." Why spend another night in sin with the frogs whenever you can be saved tonight? You can be saved tonight, you know. You can come to Christ as you are and ask him to cleanse you in his blood and save you, and he will. But you need to come. Deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Declaration of judgment in the land. Lastly, and in closing, there was a division of the people in the land that night. You know, there were really only two groups of people in Egypt. Those that were in the house where the blood was applied, and those who were in homes where the blood wasn't applied. It wasn't about old and young, male or female, rich or poor. It wasn't about the healthy or the unhealthy. It wasn't about those that had good intentions and those that didn't. It was all just about the blood. You know, whenever the Titanic sank, and all of the different classes that were in the Titanic, first class, second class, third class, and then the people that worked in the Titanic, the engineers, the crewmen, and the people that worked in the laundry, and the people that worked in the restaurants. There were many different peoples, all different classes. But you know, the next day, whenever the Titanic news had got that it had sank in Southampton and in New York City, the morning papers just had two lists on the front pages. Those that were known to be saved, and those believed to have been lost. And that was all that mattered. Didn't matter what ticket you had. Didn't matter what bed you slept in. Didn't matter what you spent your time doing while on the boat. All that mattered, did they get into a lifeboat? Did somebody pick them up and rescue them? That's all that mattered. And folks, tonight, as far as God's concerned, all that matters, saved or lost? Are you under the blood or are you not? You see, tonight in this meeting, there are only two groups of people, saved or lost. There are only two roads. One's broad and it leads to hell. One's narrow and it leads to life. There's only two places after this world, heaven or hell. And there's only two positions that you can be in Christ or out of Christ. And there's only one Savior. You see, after midnight in Egypt, whenever the death angel came, all that really mattered was the blood applied. Did they get under the blood? There's division in this meeting. Some are saved, some aren't. You might be sitting beside a person that's a Christian and you're not. They might be your nearest and dearest. You're not saved and they are. Maybe you're saved and they aren't. Division in the land. Homes divided, marriages divided, communities divided. The Bible says that whenever Jesus Christ comes again, two shall be in a field, one shall be taken and the other one left. Friend, whenever the Lord comes, I wonder how it will be with you. The wonderful thing about this blood was that it secured complete families from judgment. And who knows but tonight, you could say, well, you know what, I'll come to Christ. And maybe a family member will come with you. Old Pastor Bernie Johnson used to give his testimony, he still does, I'm sure. And he said, you know, the night that he became a Christian, he says he was dating a girl who was a Roman Catholic. He was a Protestant, she was a Catholic. And she used to take him to the meetings and in the chapel in South Belfast. Then one weekend they were away down in Bundoran, and she'd never been in a Protestant church. And she says, Bertie, will you take me to a Protestant church? He says, it's been many, many years since I'd ever been in a Protestant church. But we found an old Methodist church in Bundoran. Still there today, but it's a restaurant now. And he says there was a sign outside it that there was a missionary convention on inside that church. He says, so reluctantly we went in and we sat at the back, and there was an old Scottish man who was speaking in the meeting. And he related a story in the meeting of how just in the previous week in the streets of Glasgow he had led a young Roman Catholic girl to faith in Jesus Christ. And Bertie's girlfriend at the time, Mary, hung on every word. She'd never heard this before. But he somehow came under conviction as well. And as they left the meeting, they didn't speak about it, but they went home. And Bertie Johnson was in his house, and he was under conviction of sin. And you know the thing that was holding him back? He says, if I give my life to Christ, and she doesn't, that would be an unequal yoke, and I would have to break that off. And he wasn't just willing to do that, but such was the conviction in his soul that he had to get right with God, and he gave his heart to the Lord that night. And the very next morning he went to find the girl that he was engaged to try to break up with her and tell her that he'd become a Christian, but he didn't know that the very same thing had happened to her the previous night in her house, and she was coming to break up with him because she had become a Christian. And there they met, and the Lord had saved them both. And they both that night had got under the blood. And you maybe think tonight, well, preacher, I've got a lot of problems. I don't know how to sort them out. And I mightn't be able to know how to sort them out for you either. But I'll tell you something. God can sort them out. But you have to get under the blood. And I trust and pray that you'll do it tonight. Let's bow our heads together and let us seek the Lord, please, in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank thee for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that that blood can cleanse and can cover and can wash away a lifetime of sinning. And we thank thee, O God, that it can secure us in grace. And it provides us, the book of Hebrews says, access into the holy place itself. And O God, we ask tonight with all of our hearts that in this meeting, Lord, there will even be just one who will say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I need to get the account settled tonight. I need to know that it's well with my soul. I need to be saved. Lord, speak to hearts, we pray, and continue with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll just sing a couple of verses, please, of number 339. 339, our time is gone, but we want to...